it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
NFL Network analyst.
I believe the pure progression type system can slow a quarterback down. That's what Chicago did most of the time last year. And I feel like it hurts quarterbacks, but I felt like it really hurt Caleb Williams.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
After those first few games of the year, nobody was more dominant across the board than the Super Bowl champs, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It is great to have Kurt Warner back with us for this season, breaking down the Bears. And he's going to be on the call tonight on Westwood One. This segment with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency. Call the plumbing professionals. Available 24-7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. It's also brought to you by Great Clips. It's going to be great. Kurt, welcome back to the United States. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm excited for tonight and see what we're going to get from these two teams and these two young quarterbacks. But it's good to be back. It's been a great week one, and I'm looking forward to finishing it up tonight.
Before we get to tonight, what quarterback's performance from week one so far has gotten you excited about their season? Kurt, your dime, your dance floor. You get to pick.
I think you have the usual suspects. What we saw last night with those two guys. I thought Justin Herbert played really, really well. But I'm going to give you a young guy that I thought was really impressive, and that was Michael Penix. I thought he played really, really well. I loved his timing, the way he got the ball out of his hands, made some big-time throws, let his team down with a chance to win the game, even though, one time he was able to get him the lead, and then they lost the lead and was able to bring him back. I mean, I just thought he was really, really impressive in terms of, guys that we may not expect or may not be talking about much after week one. I thought he was really, really good.
We kind of live in a silo. It's bear season is starting up. We're really excited. I know that you've prepped for both teams. What do you think is interesting about Minnesota?
Well, I think it all starts with J.J. McCarthy. You got a team that won 14 games a year ago, made some improvements, has a bunch of talent. I know Addison's not going to be there, but has a bunch of talent that you really do look at this team and say, it all hinges on this young quarterback that they committed to after basically, one bit of a preseason game. That there's high expectations for him and this team because of how they're built and what they did last year. And so I think that's the most intriguing thing. Of course, the other thing that you're, going to look at tonight is that defense of Brian Flores and the things that they do and the challenges that they give you is always fun to watch for me as a quarterback and kind of decipher. And it's going to be a great challenge for Caleb tonight.
I'm trying to figure out, Kurt, like whether we should expect more from JJ, who has spent a year under the offense that he's trying to learn and hasn't played, or more from Caleb, who is getting a full, install of a new thing, but at least played a year in the NFL. It's an interesting, different kind of ask for these two guys who are both, under the microscope in tonight's game.
That's a tough question. I guess I would probably, if I was going to answer that question, I would probably just say Caleb, just because, to your point, is we've seen an entire year. He's played an entire year, even though I know it's a new system and it's different from that perspective. But he's played a lot of football. And, you know, he's seen a lot of stuff already. And so I think when I go into this, you know, I mean, again, I'm not going to panic if any of either of them have struggles. But I guess I reserve myself to say, JJ, he's played a little bit in preseason, and that's all he's played in the NFL. If there's some growing pains early on, I fully understand that, you know, being that he hasn't played. And again, not that that's fair to Caleb, but, you know, when you have 17 games in, you're expected to be better in year two than you were in year one and to have made growth. And I think now that he's in a better offensive system with, you know, better coaches and better players. So I expect him to come out and be better than he was last year. And so that's just my expectation going in.
Kurt, walk me through some specifics for tonight. What are some things that you kind of have on your list that you want to see Caleb improve upon?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the biggest thing for me is his progressions. That, you know, what I saw in preseason was last year. Let's go back to last year. Last year, you know, we talked a lot. And, you know, the system didn't help him, in my opinion. But I thought he just held the ball and was very indecisive within the system. Even with the challenges that it had, I just thought he held the ball and looked at, you know, one guy or one read way too long instead of processing and getting through things. In preseason, what I liked about, you know, what I saw from Caleb in this new offense was I thought he was really definitive with his first read, that whatever he needed to see, when he saw it, he got back, he hit his back foot, and he let the ball rip. And so that to me was an improvement. Okay, great. We're playing faster than we did a year ago. But even in the preseason, when he was forced to go beyond number one, I thought he still struggled to get through his progressions and to do it in a timely fashion and to know exactly where he was going and setting because of what the defense was doing. I thought that process was still slow for him. So I want to see a continuation of him being definitive and getting the ball out because that was really, really good. And then through the course of this year, as he gets more confident and comfortable in this offense, you got to see the processing, you know, move faster. You've got to see him get through the reads that Ben is asking him to make at a faster speed if he's going to have, you know, a level of success this year.
Kurt Warner with us here on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. Kurt, I don't know if you're aware of the piece that Tyler Dunn put out on Friday, where he spoke to all, it seemingly, all of the former coaches of the Bears who'd gotten kind of buried in the media over the past 6 months or so. Are you aware of that piece that kind of pushed back on Caleb Williams a bit from Friday and it made its way around over the weekend?
I will say that I haven't read all of it. I saw some excerpts here and there of some of the comments from the coaches. So yes, I saw that, but yeah, I didn't, you know, go into depth with it.
Yeah, no, it's really long, but a lot of the assistant coaches were angry at the way that it was said that Caleb had nobody telling him how to watch film. Like, and some of the quotes were like, "What? Come on, that's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. You think we don't want to win? Of course we told him what to watch." Like, two or three different coaches being angry about the way that was portrayed. And I thought of you, who was somebody who said there's some personal responsibility. So it'll be interesting. You know, he's got better coaching now, and he's got a really good coach, but Caleb has a tremendous amount of personal responsibility that we all have to hope he's stepping up to right now as this season is underway.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm one of those that, you know, I understand, you know, there can be young guys come in, you know, they've never been taught how to watch film. But, you know, as I said last year, you know, Caleb had access to anybody he wanted to have access to. I mean, we heard about, you know, the players. I think Tom Brady was even a guy that he could have access to anybody he wanted in terms of watching film. If he didn't know and the coaches weren't telling him, he could find ways to learn how to watch film. I also like to think that when you get to that level and you're the number one overall pick, that you've had to have watched film in your entire life. Like, you had to watch film in college to prepare for what I just would think. You know, somehow you had to prepare to be as good as you were in college. And so you should have some of that access. And then I even said it last year, like, it's dumbfounding to me that, you know, if he didn't, and if he asked the coaches, that somebody wouldn't take him into a room and show him, you know, at least break it down. Like, this is what I watch. Now, just because you tell a guy, this is how I watch film, doesn't mean the guy knows and sees the things that you're seeing on the film. It doesn't mean, you know, he really, you know, so like I say, no, he doesn't really know, doesn't have to really know how to watch film. Just because you're telling him what to watch, there's things that you need to see and things that each of us, you know, based on how we play the game, you know, things we have to watch for and things that we have to be familiar with. And that can be different for all of us. And so, you know, even if, you know, he was told the right things to watch, doesn't mean he fully understands how to watch it and hasn't learned his process yet. But I just, you know, to me, that was just a crazy comment overall that I just could never imagine any coach. And I understand coaches are busy and whatever, that if your number one overall pick told you, you know, I don't know how to watch film, that they would just say, well, figure it out, you know, go find somebody. Like, that just, that never made sense to me from the get go. You know, and as most of these reports, it's probably somewhere in the middle in terms of, you know, Caleb wanted more and they were busy doing other stuff and didn't have a chance to kind of walk him through everything. But that stuff to me is a little bit crazy, because, you know, as a player, I think it's, you uncover, you know, every rock that you can. If you don't have something and it's not available right in front of you, you go and try to find somebody that can help you uncover that. And I just believe Caleb had access to numerous people that that could have helped him with that process if he needed the help there.
I also like that you were like, hey, he could call me if he really wants to. I appreciate you saying that last year on the show.
Like,
Kurt.
We do. Like, yeah. We call Kurt.
Yeah, we call Kurt, and Kurt's going to be on.
I make myself available all the time. Like, any of these young quarterbacks can call me. I mean, any of these quarterbacks, anybody can call me. A coach, a quarterback. I'm available. I'll give you my number. I'm easy to find.
Do they? Do some of them
call
you?
No, they never do. Nobody ever calls.
They should call.
Nobody ever calls.
They should. I mean,
no coaches, no players. Very rarely. I mean, I won't say never. I mean, I have talked to some along the way, but it's few and far between, and it's very rare when I get a call. But, yeah, again, I always say that, like, you know, a lot of these guys have guys. Have people that they work with and former, you know, players. You know, you heard Josh Allen doing an interview saying he talks to Peyton Manning all the time. And so, you know I'm not the only one out there. But hey, I'm always surprised that, you know, when I meet a lot of these young guys at the combine and give them my number and connect with them, that I get very few calls along the way.
Well, we're going to hear you on the call on Westwood One tonight doing Color of Bears Vikings. I am going to ask you a question that since we have your number, I can ask you questions about football, which is great. It's the whole point of the bit. But, Kurt, when I watch Justin Jefferson, there's so many hidden yards with him in PI calls. Like, he gets them a lot. You've thrown to a bunch of Hall of Fame receivers. What's the key to that? Like, why is he so good at drawing those?
Well, I think it's twofold with great players. I mean, the first thing about Justin is that, you know, he's a great route runner. He understands how to run routes and attack defenders. I think the second thing is he's so good in and out of breaks that he's constantly causing separation. So when you cause separation, the defenders have to play catch up, you know? So just imagine, you know, you have 2 yards of space between you and the defender, and all of a sudden the ball's coming. That defender can't just play the ball and go, okay, where's the ball going to end up? Let me try to get my hand on it. They're like, I'm 2 yards behind Justin Jefferson. So they get into a dead sprint And so if Justin just has to slow down a little bit for the ball, boom. I mean, it's obvious when those interference calls happen, because he's, so far ahead and guys are playing catch up, as opposed to, another guy where you're right in his hip pocket and you're playing him the whole way. And now you can play the football. You've got to play the man more often than you play the football with a guy like Justin Jefferson. And it leads to, those situations, because you don't know where the ball is. You're just trying to get back and close to Justin Jefferson. And then he adjusts a little bit. He slows down. He does this. And it's an obvious call as you run through him because he's so far ahead of you already.
Kurt, you're the best. We're really looking forward to breaking Caleb down and Ben Johnson's offense down and talking to you every week. You make us smarter, and we appreciate it.
You got it, guys. I look forward to it as well. And enjoy the game tonight.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.